CD 2.
Chapter 6. Flight. For many centuries, people watched birds and dreamed that they could fly. We cannot fly like birds, though. We don't have enough strength in our arms to move wings up and down. We also really need the power of an engine to drive us forward. Many people died learning these lessons before controlled flight became possible. Flying machines. In the year 875 in Cordoba, Spain, a man called Abbas ibn Firnas built a flying machine which could carry a human being. He invited the people of the town to come and watch as he jumped off a mountain. Reports tell us that he flew some distance, but the landing was hard. Abbas hurt his back badly and was never able to fly again. He said later that he hadn't noticed that birds land on their tails. He had forgotten to put a tail on the machine. It is possible that news of his flight reached England, carried there by men returning from war in the Middle East. Whether this is true or not, in 1010, a man called Oliver jumped off a church roof in Malmesbury. This time, we know the distance of his flight, 125 steps. He was only a little luckier than Abbas. He broke both his legs, but he too was never able to fly again. In the last years of the 15th century, the Italian Leonardo da Vinci studied the flight of birds and made a number of drawings of flying machines. His early machines tried to copy the movement of birds' wings, which he didn't fully understand. But less than 10 years before his death in 1519, he drew a machine with wings that didn't move. One of these machines was built recently, and it did fly, although it was too dangerous to be tested without ropes holding it to the ground. In 1536 in France, Denis Bollard returned to the idea of moving wings. He tried to fly using wings that were moved up and down. The idea didn't work, and he fell to his death. The most successful of these early flights was in 1638 in Istanbul. Hizarfin Celebi built a pair of wings using da Vinci's drawings. He made 9 practice flights from the top of a hill. When he was sure that the wings would work, he jumped off a high building in Galata and flew across the Bosphorus to land in the marketplace at Üsküdar, Scutari. The government gave him 1,000 gold pieces, but it was frightened of Celebi's powers and sent him to live in Algeria. Balloons. Another way of flying was tried in France in 1783 when the Montgolfier brothers sent up a hot air balloon. To make the hot air, they burned wool and old shoes. Later that same year, they tested their new idea in front of King Louis XVI. This time, the balloon carried passengers, 2 birds and a sheep. The first manned flight was in November when 2 men in a balloon reached a height of 25 meters. The following month, the first flight with 1 person was made by Jacques Charles. He went up to 3,500 meters and flew for over 36 kilometers. In January 1784, one of the Montgolfier brothers, Joseph, finally flew with 6 other passengers. A year later, a balloon crossed the water between France and England. The trip took 2.5 hours. Powered flight. Unfortunately, you can't control the direction that a balloon flies in. The Frenchman, Henri Giffard, tried to solve this in the middle of the 19th century. He built a long balloon known as an airship, which was powered by a steam engine. It flew 27 kilometers west from Paris to Trappes. In 1890, another Frenchman, Clément Adé, flew a steam-powered airplane for 50 meters near Paris. Although this was the first powered flight of an airplane, it mainly showed that steam engines were too heavy for the job. True flight only became possible with the arrival of the lighter gasoline engine. At the beginning of the 20th century, 2 American bicycle mechanics, Wilbur and Orville Wright, used a gasoline engine when they built their flying machine. On the 17th of December, 1903, this lifted into the sky at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, at 10:35 a.m. Orville was at the controls. The flight only lasted 12 seconds, but it was the first powered, manned, heavier-than-air-controlled flight. The Wright brothers built a second machine, but their total flying time in 1904 was only 45 minutes. Then they learned how to turn the airplane, and in October 1905, they made a flight that covered 39 kilometers in 38 minutes and 3 seconds. The First World War. In the next few years, flying progressed very quickly. Louis Blériot became the first person to fly an airplane from France to England in 1909. Worried about war, all sides began to look at the possible uses of airplanes. At the beginning of the war, airplanes were mainly used for watching the positions of enemy soldiers. Soon, though, there were hundreds on each side of the front line. At first, fighting between machines was limited to guns in the hands of the pilots. Early German two-seater machines were flown by a pilot who carried an officer with a rifle, but soon the officers started to fly the airplane themselves. Because of the problem of firing a machine gun through a propeller, the first fighter airplanes were two-seaters. These either had a movable gun behind the pilot, or a propeller behind and a gunner in front. Then, in 1915, the Dutch engineer, Anthony Fokker, who owned a factory in Germany, invented a machine to time the gun so it could fire through a front propeller. The new single-seater Fokker fighter had a great advantage and shot down many airplanes until the British and French were able to copy his idea. Although parachutes existed, the first jump from a balloon had been made in 1797, neither side was willing to give them to pilots. British commanders said that if pilots had a parachute, they might jump out at the first sign of trouble. It is also possible that there was another reason. If the British gave parachutes to their pilots, the Germans might do the same. And since most fighting between airplanes took place on the German side of the lines, the Germans would get their shot down pilots back, while the British wouldn't. In the First World War, airships were also used for fighting. The first flight of the German machine, the Zeppelin, had taken place in 1900, and there were 159 attacks on Britain using airships of this type, during which 557 people were killed. They did little real damage, but forced the British to keep many fighter airplanes at home to defend the country. Flying around the world. After the war, the airship was seen as the future of passenger travel. But after the crash of the British R-101 in France in 1930, Britain stopped using them. Germany continued until 1937, when the Hindenburg was destroyed by fire at Lakehurst, New Jersey, and 36 people lost their lives. During the 1920s and 1930s, airplanes flew further and further. The Atlantic Ocean was crossed in 1919 by two British officers, John Alcock and Albert Brown. They took off from Newfoundland, Canada, in a Vickers bomber, and landed in the west of Ireland 16 hours and 27 minutes later. It was a difficult flight, some of the time through fog and snow. Brown had to climb out onto the wings four times to cut ice from the engines. 8 years later, Charles Lindbergh made the first flight by one person in an airplane called the Spirit of St. Louis. The following year, another American, Amelia Earhart, became the first woman to fly across the ocean, although, as she said herself, she was really a passenger on an airplane flown by two men. She did it alone, though, in May 1932. She was the first woman to fly across the Atlantic alone, and she was the first person to do it alone since Lindbergh. Earhart made a number of other long-distance flights before she was lost over the Pacific in 1937, while she was trying to fly around the world. War and Peace. In September 1923, U.S. airplanes had bombed the old warships Virginia and New Jersey as a test. Both had been sunk within a few minutes. During the war, the usefulness of air power was shown time after time until all countries learned that warships needed airplanes to protect them, and that the most important ship was now one that could carry airplanes. The war between the U.S. and Japan in the Pacific was fought between carriers that never went near each other. In the Second World War, bombing was used in a new and terrible way. Many cities were burned, and a new type of bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan in 1946. After this war, people looked again at the peaceful uses of air power, and in the 1950s and 60s, air travel became possible for more and more people. The de Havilland Comet, which first flew in 1952, was the first airplane built especially to carry passengers. But after three crashes in 2 years, it was taken out of the air. Its square windows led to weaknesses in the body of the airplane. Although later comets with round windows flew, the most popular airplanes by that time were built by the American companies Boeing and Douglas. In 1969, Britain and France produced the Concorde, the first passenger airplane to fly faster than the speed of sound. Many people thought that the future had arrived, but the real change had happened 2 years earlier, when the slower but enormous Boeing 747s began to fly. People realized that it was too expensive, noisy, and dirty to fly faster than the speed of sound. The future for passenger travel was increasing numbers of slower flights. The first helicopter had been flown in 1907, when Paul Cornu, a French inventor, built a machine that stayed 30 centimeters off the ground for 20 seconds. Then in 1939, the Russian, Igor Sikorsky, built a usable machine. It stayed up over an airport in Stratford, Connecticut for 1 hour and 5 minutes in 1941, piloted by Sikorsky himself. Little progress was made with helicopters in the Second World War, although they were used greatly in later wars in Korea and Vietnam. In the world today, helicopters have a large number of peacetime uses, as air ambulances for police work and traffic control, as well as for travel. The first rocket to actually fly and work was the German V-2, first fired against England in September 1944. V-2s continued to land on southern England until March of the following year, when the British Army reached the part of Germany they were fired from. A number of German V-2 scientists later worked for the American and Russian space programs. In March 1946, the first American-built rocket reached a height of 80 kilometers, and in 1961, Yuri Gagarin became the first human being to travel in space when he flew once around the Earth. The space race, as it was called, continued through the 1960s. Both the United States and the Soviet Union sent up better and better rockets. In time, the Americans passed the Russians, and on the 20th of July 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first person to walk on the moon. The space program slowed down after this, although a space station, Skylab, was sent up in 1973. 8 years later, Columbia became the first vehicle to go into space and return to Earth. In 2004, Rover Spirit successfully landed on Mars. Americans plan to return human beings to the moon by 2020. These people will, they hope, build a scientific station and prepare to travel to Mars. At one time, people used to say, the sky's the limit. These days, this isn't true.